Welcome to Beyond the Wish, where we delve into the power of wishes and the incredible wishmakers who make them possible. I am Sil McHugh, and with me today is Andrea, our Senior Referral Outreach Coordinator. Join us for the special four-part episode where we go along the wish journey. This is part one. Parts two, three, and four will be uploaded in the coming days. We recommend you listening to them in order. Learn how you can make wishes come true at wish.org/Illinois. So, Andrea, welcome in today.
Thank you for having me, Sloan. I'm very glad to be here.
This episode is extra special because before I started on staff here at Make-A-Wish Illinois, I was Andrea's intern doing referral outreach. So this is the topic that my intro to Make-A-Wish was on.
And you did a great job, and I could not be happier that you're back.
Me too. So can you start by giving us an overview of what you do in your role?
Yes, that's a tall order, but I will try to keep it brief and concise for our listeners. At the very basics, I handle all the referrals for the state of Illinois. So all the referrals that are placed to Make-A-Wish come to me first. So I am the shore from which the wishes are launched. It's a really great and exciting process. So I handle the intake and medical eligibility process. I work with our referral sources in all of our hospitals, including even hospitals out of state, to verify medical eligibility for a wish. I educate families as well as our medical partners in the hospitals on our criteria and how to refer and when to refer. And I get that information going, and I either move it on into the wish journey, or I let the families know that we have some other resources that we're not affiliated with, but we have places to send them and to let them know that we are a warm and fuzzy charity. They can call me back with questions. They can re-refer at any time within the age range. So, yeah, that's the very basics of where I start my job.
And I think this is a really interesting topic to start with, because I think a lot of people, when they hear about Make-A-Wish, they don't necessarily think about how our wish families get connected with our organization. Yeah. Some people think that we go out and find every child that is referred to us. And while Andrea does do great work going out into the hospitals, we are more so empowering the medical teams and the families
to submit their own referrals. Absolutely. Yeah. We actually can't solicit referrals. So there's, you know, we'll get into the eligibility and who can refer and how, but we actually can't ask for them. So that is why we go into the community and into the hospitals to make sure that our healthcare team partners and our families know how to refer to us, which is great. You know, we have a great website. It's at illinois.wish.org/refer or /refiera in Spanish. And we can accept those referrals directly from the families. And it gives me a chance to educate people on our criteria and our medical criteria and really connect with them. It's a meaningful way to spread the word, because even some families that aren't medically eligible have come back to say, oh, I didn't realize that, when I go through all the criteria with them and they send another family my way. So it's meaningful work, and it's valuable no matter which way the journey goes.
So let's just dive right into it.
Let's do it.
Who can refer a wish child?
Okay, so this is important. The wish process starts with the referrals, and referrals can come from a family member with direct knowledge of the child's medical condition, because that's important, and I'll get to why in a minute. It can be the healthcare team. If the child themselves is old enough, they can refer. One of my favorite referrals ever was from a 16-year-old who called me from the hospital, and he got his wish, so that was awesome. And those are who can refer. A lot of times we have a lot of well-meaning, you know, friends and neighbors that will see something going on, you know, social media and say, oh, this kid needs a wish. And I'm like, that's fantastic. Please share information about us with the family. What's so great is if they go to our referral portal, it says, are you a family member? Are you a healthcare team member? Or are you someone else? And if you're someone else, instead of referring, it gives you an option to share information about Make-A-Wish with the family, which is a really great thing to empower them to share the information while letting them know we really need to talk to the family, because our criteria is that you have to have permission of the family to make the referral. We don't want to surprise people, and especially if they don't know us. So we have the families themselves do it, the healthcare team do it, and then others are welcome to share.
And can you dive into
the criteria?
The criteria. Let's Who is eligible for a wish?
Who is medically eligible for a wish? So we serve the children that reside in the state of Illinois. Other chapters have other regions. We serve all of the state of Illinois. They can't have had a wish before from us. There are some other wish granting organizations that count as competing wish organizations. Families can call me if they want to know which ones those are, but there aren't many. They have to have a medical condition that is currently critical and life-threatening, that is placing the child's life in jeopardy at the time of the referral. And that's a little bit of a gray area sometimes, because we see a lot of medical complexity. We treat each wish as unique and each child as unique. So nothing is auto disqualified from a wish. Every single referral that comes in gets the same time and attention to try and determine a medically eligible condition before we either move forward or we don't move forward and leave the door open.
And all that time and attention to each referral that's submitted is done by Andrea. Yep. She is going through and talking with families, calling them up, checking in, and having these conversations to determine if a child's condition is eligible.
Yep. It was a little over 1,300 referrals last year.
It's a lot of phone calls.
It was. Yeah. It was. But we're happy to do it, and I'm happy to do it.
In terms of age,
yep.
Who we serve children.
Right.
So what are the exact parameters for age?
Absolutely. I touched on that a little bit earlier, but I can dive into that a little bit more because it does trip people up. So I'm glad that we're going to give it its own space. Children must be referred between the ages of 2.5 and before their 18th birthday. So what does that mean? It means that if you have a very young child, they may not understand the wish journey. The wish journey is very intentional in terms of trying to create the experience of hope, strength, joy, and resiliency while they go through their illness. And young children may not understand that. So I do provide other resources for other organizations for families that would not rather wait. But that is why we don't start the process until the child turns 2.5. Now for the 18 and under part, children must be referred to me before their 18th birthday. So if you turn 18 tomorrow, I can get the referral today. You do not have to have your wish granted. I do not have to have the medical eligibility back. I just need the referral in my hot little hands the day before they turn 18. I've had a lot of people, I've had even physicians even recently call in a panic. They saying, oh my God, this child turns 18 tomorrow and I know you have to hurry up and get their wish. And I said, nope, I just need the referral. We've got time. So that's a big misconception that comes around is that time frame. So I'm really glad we're hopefully clarifying for everyone the children that we serve.
Awesome. And briefly mentioned it earlier, kind of the gray area with a lot of conditions.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of misconception about exactly who we're serving. And I know a lot of people, I've heard from a lot of wish parents myself that when they hear from their physician that, you know, your child is eligible for a wish, their mind automatically goes to the worst Absolutely. Case scenario. And they think, oh my gosh, my child is dying.
Absolutely. And
that is not always the case.
No, it's a really common misconception. And I understand it, you know, especially because of, you know, media and movies. But the truth is that we serve children with critical and life-threatening illness. We did start in cancer. And so I think we'll always be associated with cancer. And I'm really proud to serve that community. But they are not the only children that we serve. And I'm very happy to say that more than 75% of our wish children go on to recover from their illness and live beautiful lives. We've had Wish alum board members. We have Wish alum staff. And it's great to see people who grow up into adulthood and come back and give back to the mission. So that is our genuine and sincere hope for all of our kids. So the truth is actually a little bit in the middle. We do serve children that are terminal. We do serve children with cancer, but we also serve an array of other illness categories of children that are facing critical life threat. And we're really proud to serve them. And that's another reason we want families to know that they're being referred so that they're not terrified that we're calling to give them information that their child is dying. And so I always come out with, it is not a last wish necessarily, it is a lasting wish. So our goal is to give a lasting wish for however long it lasts. We want it to be a lasting wish.
Great. And if parents are kind of on the fence about whether or not their child may be eligible for a wish, their condition may be eligible for a wish, who should they contact? Their provider? Should they just submit a referral?
Both. They can do either or both. They can talk to their doctor, their social worker, their child life specialist. They can call me. They can just submit a referral. I will never turn away a referral. If you want to know, does my child's condition medically qualify for a wish? I will go and find that out for you. And I've had a lot of families that say, well, I wasn't really sure. And I said, that's okay. That's what I'm here to help you with. So I encourage all of the above. Talk to your physician, talk to your child specialist, give me a call, or just go ahead and submit a referral. The best way to ask the question is to ask.
And for medical providers, mm-hmm. what can they do? Because they have the direct insight of a child's condition. They're there. Maybe it's the doctor or nurse or child life specialist, social worker. What can they do? What can their role be in the referral process?
They have such a crucial role in the referral process, and we are so grateful for our amazing medical partners, not only in Illinois, but across the country. They're the ones that can start the conversation with the family. A lot of times families are very overwhelmed by a diagnosis, and so that might be a good time to introduce the idea of a wish. And they can tell them, hey, let's explore eligibility. And here's what Make-A-Wish is about. And no, it's not because your child is terminal, if it's not the case. And they can kind of guide the family. And a lot of times, again, with medically complex children, families can be very overwhelmed. So they can go ahead and submit the referral on the family's behalf with their permission. And I can just work directly with them so that the first time the family hears from us is a welcome call. So they don't have to go through the stress of trying to figure out, like, even though we've made it extremely simple to refer online in under 5 minutes, sometimes that's still asking too much of a family in crisis. So that's another way they can partner, is to just take the process over for them.
And if there are medical providers listening who may not have worked with Make-A-Wish before.
Absolutely.
This may be a new topic for you. Who should they get in touch with to learn more?
They can get in touch with me. Absolutely, reach right out to me. And we do so many different things. We really tailor our outreach and education based on what they need. So if they just need some pamphlets and a phone call, I can talk them through some things and mail them some things. If they have a staff that they want to really dig into, any particular specialty, or if they want to get the whole overview, we can come to them. Sometimes we bring breakfast. Sometimes we bring lunch. You know, it can be a pretty nice experience. We can, have a little lunch and learn. So really, it's whatever they need. I will meet them where they're at. Sometimes they just want an email with more information. I will give you whatever you need, and I will meet you wherever you're at.
Awesome. So I will include your contact information.
Please do.
With this episode. So if you are a medical provider who wants to learn more and refer your patients, Andrea will give you the rundown of what you need to know and how to be involved.
I would love to do that.
As a family submits a referral, what can they expect that referral process to look like?
That's a great question, because it varies wildly. Every referral that I get will be at least looked at the very same day it's submitted. It could go a couple of different ways. So when you submit the referral, you get an automatic notification acknowledging that it's been submitted correctly. And then it comes to me. So what I will do is I will evaluate if I have enough information to move forward and just send the verification forms to the medical team, or if I need to reach out to the family. So if I need to reach out to the family, they'll get an email either the same day or the next day, kind of depending on what time they submit the referral. And they'll get an email requesting additional information. I'll just let them know what else I need. And if it's easier, they can always schedule a phone call with me. And that offer goes in to that email. If I don't have their email address, I will text them. But I find that many people these days and age do not pick up calls they don't recognize. So if you get a call that you don't recognize, it might be Make-A-Wish. So pick up for me. But I do make many attempts to reach out and get all that additional information. And then I will send it off to the healthcare team because we do have a process called diagnosis verification. So it's not that we don't trust you, but we do have pretty detailed and precise medical criteria. So what we do is we have the smart form sent to the medical team. They will fill it out and it asks questions based on the answer. So it's a really smart form. It's very cool. And then it comes back to me and either they've answered enough questions that we can determine eligibility right out the gate, or we need additional information from them. And who is the we in the we need additional information? That would be me, but also I work very closely with our national medical affairs team. They are based in our national chapter. They are medical professionals, all of them. They are fantastic. And they also work with our National Medical Affairs Council, which is a group of leading pediatric specialists across the country, across specialties, that help set our criteria and also help us determine, what's an eligible condition. So we work very closely with them. So that's why we're gathering that information, so that we can verify that this meets our criteria and we can move forward. So that process can take anywhere from a day to a couple months. If families are wondering where they're at in the process, they're always welcome to reach out to me and I will keep them in the loop. But generally, it's pretty quick. It takes usually a week or two when it's cut and dry. But as we mentioned, there's a lot of gray there, so I leave no stone unturned.
One of the kind of common questions I'm asking everybody who is coming on the podcast is, what has been your most impactful moment at Make-A-Wish?
Oh, that's a big question. I just had my 6th anniversary. That's a big question. I've had several. And I'm also a wish granter, so everything I've ever done means the world to me. But what I will say is that I had one wish that, just because of where we were in terms of time, space, and staff, that I actually worked on it from beginning to end, and in a way that I will never touch another wish. We weren't a fully automated system like we are now and accepting those online referrals in a quick process. So I took the referral over the phone from the family that was there with their social worker. I processed that referral. And at the time I was handling what is now called the medical wish clearance paperwork. So I got their medical wish clearance. And then when the wish turned into a rush, the wish was being granted by staff, but one of the staff members had a commitment and could not make the wish. So I jumped in to grant the wish on the day of, and very, very unfortunately, the child did pass away and we went to their service. And at the time I still owned the process for registering a star in their name. I'm sure you'll talk about this on the podcast with our Wish alumni manager, but when a child does pass away on the Wish journey or after the Wish journey, we register a star in their name at the International Star Registry so that they always have a little star to remind them of their beautiful little one. So I ordered the star for that child as well. So I touched absolutely every inch of the process for that family.
Mentioned the rush wish.
Yes.
Can you dive a little bit into that and explain what a rush wish is?
I would love to. So that's very much an internal term, but it's an important one to understand. So if a child's illness is diagnosed with not a lot of time, the medical team may refer it and ask us to accelerate the wish process, because we want to guarantee that we give the family a beautiful experience. And unfortunately, some illnesses can take a turn and we might need to accelerate the process. But it's not always bad news. Sometimes there's going to be a procedure or treatment with lengthy recovery coming up. And so instead of trying to have a child hold on until after that big, long recovery, we may want to accelerate the process and get their wish granted more quickly. So that's really something that we leave to the medical team, and that's part of the education and outreach that we do with them. The forms that we have even ask them, like, does this wish need to be accelerated? What's the time frame? What's the medical reason? Of course, there are families like, could we maybe go a little faster? And, you know, I get that schedules are hard. Employers aren't all as wonderful as Make-A-Wish in terms of flexibility. I get it. And we will work with families as best we can. But we really do leave that acceleration process up to the medical team to let us know that needs to be done. And also, we don't force that on families. If they're not ready to speed it up, like if a child has a big procedure coming up and with a long recovery and they really don't want to rush the process, they can wait. We let them wait. We want them to have the experience they need. But the wish journey is very intentional. It's really intentionally structured to build that hope, that strength, that joy along the way, the anticipation. So we prefer not to go fast if we can avoid it. So we really do... wait for a medical reason to accelerate a wish.
Because I'm sure we will touch on this in one of our next episodes, but the wish journey as a whole could take like a year.
Average is about 12 months at this point. Yeah.
About a year. And so a rush may be
anywhere. Yes.
Maybe 2 months or 6 months.
Yes.
But making sure that.
Absolutely. We can accommodate any time frame that the healthcare teams provide us. But yeah, we want them to have that whole journey. We want them to have that experience and take that year to build that anticipation for that wonderful, wonderful wish day that will hopefully become that lasting impact. So we don't want to accelerate that if we don't have to. So
kind of the reason for this, spreading this episode out into four parts to touch on each part of the wish journey, is because, like you said, it is so intentional, and everything we do has a reason, and we want families to have that insight, or volunteers or medical professionals, of Absolutely. What wish families are experiencing, what they can expect, and really the reason behind are the journey.
Absolutely.
Because like you said, it builds the hope, it builds the resiliency, and there is so much that goes into making a wish possible.
Absolutely. And we really want them to have that joy, to have something else to look forward to that's not another doctor's appointment, to have something else to talk about that's not their diagnosis. And one of the things we do is we let kiddos, you know, drive the wish. Like, it's their wish. It's not mom's wish. It's not dad's wish. It's their wish. And one of the things I do as part of the referral process is explain to people, you don't need to know what your wish is coming in. Part of, and again, I know you're going to get into this in other episodes, but part of the process is discovering what is your true heartfelt wish. Because especially when we're dealing with children who are facing critical and life-threatening illness, they have to relinquish so much autonomy. They have to put their trust in their parents, in their doctors, in their nurses, social workers, all of their caregivers. And this gives them a chance to own something and drive it. And so that's another reason we prefer not to accelerate that process, because we really want them to be in that driver's seat for as long as possible and build that strength, that hope, that joy. We want to give them that.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Beyond the Wish. Come along tomorrow for part two of this four-part episode. I will be chatting with Kayla about the wish discovery process of the wish journey. All four parts are already live on our YouTube channel in one video if you want to watch it all the way through. If we have inspired you to become a wish maker, visit wish.org/Illinois to learn how you can help local wish children. If you are a medical professional who wants to get involved with Make-A-Wish and refer your patients, contact Andrea. She can get you set up with everything you need to know. And if you are a child or a family who you believe has a eligible condition, you can find all the information about the referral process on our website as well.